For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
About gratitude and kindness.
Thank you.
This comes from a Monday, I guess a couple of months back, when the Dharma talk and discussion particularly spoke to me. And then stepping out of the hall, I came across something else which I was open to. Gratitude may sound familiar. I am unashamedly copying from the theme of the session that night and the discussion afterwards. I dropped in something from my experience, and it's still important to me, and so forgive me, anyone who was listening then, if you may hear some familiar stuff from the It's a large matter for me, a very large one. I was in Sesshin a number of years back, and I don't know what triggered it, but I felt just a wave of gratitude flooded, extending in all directions. In particular, I thought of everyone I knew. Lots of people I didn't know, but that I had crossed paths with, sometimes just glimpsed, making only the slightest impression on me, and I thought passing entirely out of my mind, but they were there somewhere. People who had cropped up, or in whose lives I had cropped up. Innumerable faces. And where there weren't faces, just even the very slightest of passing presences. Thought of all these people in my life, however temporary or slight, unimportant, most of them, I felt at the time. And all somehow putting me where I was, putting me where I am. Upholding me in some way, composing my life, my path, without being at all aware of it or intending it, and above all, without my being aware. Making me up in several senses. Including people who I really resented or neglected, was annoyed by, brushed away out of my consciousness. Who has time for this person? This person gives me a headache. This is someone I'm getting away from as soon as I can. And they were all there. And they were all what made me up, composed me. They all upheld me in some way. My life, my being was somehow composed of them. And in some way, it ran in the other direction. I was some part of them. I was unthinkable without them. And I felt a tremendous wave of gratitude to all of them for being there. So I could be there. A tremendous interweaving. As a whole, as all of them, they were supremely essential. What would I do with what would I do? How could I be without them? I saw them as a whole rather than the little bits and flecks and distractions and superfluities that I had experienced them as. Obstructions and stumbling blocks, or just distractions. And the gratitude, the feeling of linkage, of need, of essentialness just flared up and ran over. It was a very unusual feeling. Last time I brought in a number of things, bits I love to quote from. And I had thought at one point to bring in work by Stephen Mitchell, matchless poet and writer and translator and Zen student. And I thought of an edition of the Psalms, which he translated from the Hebrew. And I looked, and they really were unworkable, everyone addressed to God, and which is fine, but somehow it took too much transposition and suspension of not a belief but of reflex. But the reason I was going to bring it in is because what they're all about is praise. That you experience the world and your life and this incredible good fortune, this incredible gift of being alive as a human being. Not that other forms of life don't have their good moments, their ecstasies. But being alive, this marvel, and that the only fit, the only proportional response to it is gratitude, is praise. Praise being a lyrical form of gratitude, as far as I can understand. So that was a good moment. I can't forget it. Certainly don't want to. So that happened in this room. And then I stepped out for tea and a nibble. And I came across an issue of Shambhala Sun, which I have now returned. And there was an article in it by Thich Nhat Hanh. It is called Healing the Child Within. And I hesitated a bit about bringing it up and bringing that notion up, because we have a substantial representation of therapists in this sangha, though I'm not sure who we got besides Agetsu and Kathy.
I think none of them are here tonight.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. Well, good.
Excuse me if I've left you out. But, well, there's at least half a dozen or more than that.
Something to feel gratitude for.
Well, I can slip by a little more easily. Anyway, certainly the notion of the inner child is... coming to terms with the inner child is a familiar one. Virtually cliché, of course. There is the basic truth of things that get to be cliches. But this was a specific and powerful perspective from Thich Nhat Hanh. The healing the inner child, the child within. Parenthetically, the magazine's out there, and also at one point, not very clear why, but I Xeroxed a few copies of it. Nowhere near enough for this size group, but people who carry over particular interest will find a little stack of them. Don't hang back. Take a look at the first page or so, and if you respond, then pick it up. Somebody's got to pick it up. I found it very powerful. What he says is that in everyone there is a child who is wounded, who is in pain. Maybe because of some considerable trauma in your own childhood. Or it may be an accumulation of much more ordinary hurts and losses. But there's suffering there. Not with a capital S. A small one, a small person, a small understanding. But a person in a time of life where there are no defenses, really, and no basis for understanding. And part of the pain, I think, is that lack of understanding, that a kid is small enough unclear enough so that they tend to feel that some way it's what they deserve or it's what's coming to them because of what they've the bad things they've done or their general unworthiness. And so that's a pain that doesn't go away. But of course that goes further and further inside. And is sort of the basis of our experience of suffering. And what we do, of course, is shove it way back. Way down. Distract ourselves, forget about it. Really forget about it. I mean, it's old stuff and not comparable with the big things we face or hear about as grown-ups. And in most people's lives, not particularly dramatic or exciting. Just what kids are in for, because they're open to it and they're open to it. They don't really have defenses. Anyway, there's this kid dwelling far inside. And what Thich Nhat Hanh says is, you have got to embrace and love this child. Uh, eyes of kindness. In fact, this is as close as my understanding comes to the notion of loving kindness. But it goes beyond being nice or helpful or concerned, empathetic, involved. Just love that child. Needs love. Children do. And it's been alone out there or in there all this time. You've been away as far away as you could get. It needs you. You want to embrace it, keep it around. Bring it with you. And as you open to it and it feels you opening to it, your life, your inner life at least, transforms, warms, gets closer to you. Meet the needs of this child. You suddenly feel, in the first stage, tremendously better about yourself, more worthwhile, more worthy of expecting response and acceptance in the world from outside. And you open more to second phase, perhaps, to other people. Less specific, less suspicious, less defensive. See them less as sources of pain or disappointment. Because you're taking care of this kid. Instead of constantly turning away, behaving as though he doesn't exist, he, because I happen to be him, rather than her. Or because you cannot conceive his not being in pain and unloved. Thich Nhat Hanh brings this into a fully Buddhist perspective in terms of practice, in terms of consciousness. But standing there by the tables, I just felt tender. So I guess from that point of view, the two matters of gratitude and loving kindness run together. So that was a good evening here, a great evening for me. And
doing reading during Sesshin.
These were, even though I've mushed them together here, these were two very different occasions. The session here, discussion, Dharma talk, brought to mind my experience from several years back in Sesshin. And the reading was merely in there, merely after a Monday. So I got out of that one.
In some ways, I think, Adam, we're kind of, one aspect of our zazen is that we're reading. We're reading our breaths, and we're reading our memories, and we're reading the wall in front of us, or, you know. And sometimes, you know, a phrase from some reading that we did actually from a book actually might show up in zazen. So, I like the sweetness of Jim's talk because of its inclusiveness, including everything, everyone. And I, as you were talking, I was just randomly remembering people I went to high school with or grade school with who I hadn't thought of in years, and just, that person. So anyway, there's lots of different kinds of reading to do. And Jim is our librarian.
Thanks, Jim. First, you mentioned at the very beginning about people who have affected you and who you might not have given the time of day to, and all of a sudden you express gratitude for them being there. Now, I have a close friend who I've known since I was probably 3, and we're on the opposite sides of the political spectrum, and yet we've always been close, and he's somebody who's helped me at least try to understand the other side, to be the dark side. And yet, you know, and probably because of that, I can open up and at least listen, whereas before I would just, no, you guys are just wrong, and you don't know what you're talking about. And with some good discussion, I've been able to get out of his side of the story, and at least I have gratitude for at least the kind of give and take that we have all these years, always on opposite sides and having verbal warfare, yet nothing ever, nothing escalates. We've always been close. But anyway, so thank you.
Coworker today that made me grateful for Zazen. I'm not to the point where I'm grateful for this coworker yet, but I was grateful. We had a conflict, and it's not the first time. There was a time maybe that I wouldn't have been able to kind of stay with it, and. Maybe trying to push it away, but for whatever reason today I was able to kind of stay with it, and I still have no idea whether we're going to be friends or. But I guess I was grateful for Zazen, because that was kind of, it's not totally okay, but it was like 85% okay that that's never going to happen. Maybe someday I'll be grateful. My coworker, but right now I'm just kind of grateful for something.
I didn't mean that you need or expect to be friends with all those people, except on a very rarefied level. For me, that included lots and lots of people whom I never had been and never would be friends. It's just that on a larger level, they're all necessary to me.
Well, this is an opportunity to practice, I guess. Grateful for the opportunity to
that practice. That too.
Thanks for your Dharma talk, Jim. It reminds me today of not something that happened today, but maybe a couple of years ago when I was living in Washington, I was having a really hard time with, there's like this homeless element in my neighborhood, because there's a needle exchange where I was living, of these like drug casualty people who are really crazy, and it was always like right around 5 o'clock in the evening, right when the needle exchange was open, that I would just see like the craziest things like on my block, and it was always really rattling to me and kind of disturbing. And at the time I was reading this book, it was I think it was called Walking the Bodhisattva Path. Talking about this way of working with others, of imagining that in another life, that every person that you come in contact with was at one point your mother, or that you were their mother. And so, like, when dealing with this certain element of people, like, right in front of my building, doing drugs and being really unhealthy and frightening, it really changed my, it changed my relationship to them in a way that, I wasn't totally grateful that they were there, but, I was able to have, like, this intimacy with the situation that I wasn't able to have before, and to be a little bit more at peace with them. And there's plenty of times that I'm, you know, irritated with my mother, but, you know, it's different because, you know, with family, you kind of let it go eventually and have more compassion more easily sometimes. So, I don't know, it was an interesting practice, and I really noticed a change there.
Thank you.
It occurs to me, you know, kind of putting that together with something Jim was talking about, thinking about our inner children, this, that spirit that you're describing with these difficult people, at least I won't speak for anyone else, but anyway, some of us have, you know, difficult parts of ourselves. You know, if we think about ourselves at age 10 or 8 or 14, or, you know, pick an age, you know, so there are many beings on every, you know, cushion and chair in here. And so, you know, that's the same kind of spirit of seeing an openness to the people in front of your house. You know, part of the intimacy that works with those people is also to be intimate with, you know, as Jim was talking about, the hurt and damaged beings on your cushion. So this is, I really appreciate what you talked about tonight, Jim, and the response, and this is part of how we grow intimacy with ourselves and deepen in the practice. And, you know, as Josh was saying, it does give us a kind of wider tolerance and patience with the difficult people in the world or parts of ourselves.